Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
So, Philip, yes, welcome on. I appreciate you getting in touch. And we actually, before I even put that call out to, I'm seeking more Bigfoot encounters, but we were already in touch a while back, and I kind of swung back around and poked you a little bit and said, would you be willing to come on and talk about your Bigfoot experiences? And you said yes, and we made the scheduling happen. So I appreciate that so much, Philip. And so today, we're going to be talking about the area of Polk County, North Carolina. And for anybody that's interested, you can get online right now to the bfro.net. And this is BFRO report number 67582. And this is actually in the Green River Game Lands. Now, before we get into maybe you discussing what that area is like, were you always into Bigfoot? Was this on your radar at all before all of this began in 2011?
Yes and no. I've always had an interest in mysteries, I guess, but I never dreamed there would be a Bigfoot in North Carolina. While I've been interested in it and pretty much any other kind of paranormal, or I never dreamed there would be any activity at my place or in North Carolina. I always, I guess, just thought that was like in Louisiana or the Pacific Northwest, or, you know, I never heard any reports from around here until, and then a lot of this activity, it kind of took me a little bit to realize something was going on that may be Bigfoot, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people just assume, they think, oh, the grass man in Ohio and the big boys up in Pacific Northwest, which isn't always true. They're not always the biggest. But yeah, that's what they think, right? So you're like, wait, I have them here maybe? This is amazing. Yeah, so Philip, what is that area, the Green River Game Lands? What is that? Is that a preserve?
It's a gorge. It comes down, basically, where I live in the Green River comes down onto the foothills of North Carolina from the mountains. It's like the last of the mountains before it starts flattening out into like the rolling hills going into Charlotte. So it's pretty steep through there. And our county is a big county. And that's a really, I guess, a harsh environment through there for you know, getting around. You're not just going to go walking through there. You know, that you can, there's some trails up by the river, but they actually have a kayak race here that goes down that river. It's called the Green River Narrows. That's some of the craziest. I'm not a whitewater kayaker, so I don't know the lingo, but that's a pretty famous race here for the last, I guess, about 20 years or so. they have to carry those boats down in there, and there's a lot of cliffs and waterfalls and all kind of stuff like that. And so you might get listeners that may know the area from that. There's not a lot of civilization. Charlotte's like 2 hours away. Asheville's over an hour away. Our little town is just a courthouse, and there's a couple of other little towns that are just post offices. And I don't think we have 10 red lights in the whole county. The interstate I-26 runs through our county, but that's about the biggest thing we have.
That actually sounds like heaven to me. A little courthouse and then 10 lights. That would be amazing. That's where I want to end up someday. So that sounds pretty awesome. And so this kayak situation, God bless those people, because I've seen videos of the kayakers that do the really extreme stuff. And I'm like, no thanks. You see them flip over and they're under for way too long. And then they're trying to right themselves the whole time. I'm like, no thanks. I'm all good on that.
Yeah, that's a nope.
Yeah. Big, big bag of nope on that. No thank you. But God bless those folks. Just like the mountain climbers, that's right?
That's definitely the type of the kayaking they do. It's the really, really extreme stuff. So I think it's pretty hard to even get down into the watch to do. The spectators have a lot of trouble just, you know, climbing down the cliffs. It takes, you know, like an hour to walk in there and then climb down the cliff. So
yeah, and what does that say if you actually need to be evac'd out of there if you get really hurt, right? You're in a bad situation.
Oh, I would hate to have to be carried out of there. Now, I don't know how they would get somebody.
If they can get a chopper in there, depending on how tall the trees are, then good luck with that. But that says a lot then, I think, as far as the area being attractive to a Bigfoot, right? I mean, it takes...
Yeah, there's basically nothing here.
Yeah.
Woods.
That's a good sign for a Bigfoot, because you got cover, you got water, you got food. Boom, it's everything that they need.
And you probably heard of the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Blue Ridge Parkway and the Smokies and all that. Anywhere, you know, around here, it's not too far from that. And then, of course, that's just, you know, all the way from part of the Appalachian Trail runs through there. And, you know, so I'm in that area, if that helps any. You know, so there's literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of nothing accessible. There are towns and cities, but there's plenty of just woods and forests that are all connected, you know. So
let's,
if you hear I was gonna say, if you hear laughing and hollering and stuff, I also have a parrot. So
oh, you do? What kind of parrot do you have?
Yeah, it's an Amazon. Her name is Pebbles.
Oh gosh.
I can tell she's I'm living in my van. I'm doing van life right now, so me and her in my van, so, and she's I can see she's starting to want to talk, so.
That's all right by me. As you know, I have several parrots myself, and they're kind of stuck in their little places.
Yeah, I had some things go on in my life, and I'm going to try to do the van life and save money and all, so.
Well, congrats on that. I think that's really, it's brave, and it's very cool that you're doing that. So I think that's a huge high five. And I welcome Pebbles to have a cameo anytime she wants within the recording. I think that's wonderful.
She will do whatever Pebbles wants to do.
That is for dang sure. You cannot tell a bird no. If you tell them no, they'll just do it more and louder. So, yes.
And she'll laugh at us.
Let's go back then to October of 2011, right? And when this all kind of started to get on your radar about some possible Bigfoot activity, let's talk about that.
Basically, I lived where my house was at the time, and my van is sitting basically in the same spot, so I'll be talking about the same spot. But I walked out one morning in October, and we have a fire pit. And it basically is just a grassy area in the woods. We would sit out by the fire at night and talk or whatever, had chairs around it and everything. This night, it had poured rain overnight. I guess I can't remember the temperature or anything, but it was October temperatures here, kind of chilly, you know, in the morning. So I come out, there's something had stepped. It looked like something had stepped in the ash, which was like a wet concrete almost looking texture in the fire pit at the time because of the storm. And I got to looking, and there was literally it looked like a human had stepped barefoot in the fire pit and walked across the yard. I guess maybe I'll send you those pictures. They didn't have any outline of like a bare foot or anything, but you could see foot sized prints, and you could see where something had stepped in the, made big holes in the, I wish they'd have made a better print in the actual fire pit, but they didn't. And I was not thinking Bigfoot. I was just wondering what idiot has come out here miles away from anything, walking through my yard barefoot in a storm and stepped in my fire pit is all I was thinking. I got to looking at it, and the foot tracks were like in a straight line, which looked weird, and they were far apart. Like, I remember me and my son were like trying to step like the footprints were, and it was hard like to go from one to the next. I had to leave the ground a little bit, like I had to leap. I could do it, but I had to, it wasn't natural, you know, it was that far of a step. So I thought, you know, this is definitely weird. But I mean, we may have joked, hey, that's a Bigfoot or whatever. But at that point, I was not thinking Bigfoot. But I did take pictures of it because I thought it was weird. I told Rick, the Bigfoot investigator, when I showed him the pictures, I wish now that I had taken better pictures and took more time. If I had a thought that it was could possibly have been Bigfoot, I would have done a better job. But I did put my foot beside one of the prints, and it was bigger than my foot with my shoes on. Oh, and also you could see where whatever stepped in the fire pit had tried to scrape the, you know, like when you step in something, you like scrape it off in the grass or the curb or a rock or whatever. You could see where it had scraped off the muck off of its foot onto the rocks. So I thought that was not something. It definitely wasn't bear prints anyway, because it was definitely a bipedal trackway. I mean, you can definitely tell that. But that was pretty much it for that experience. That was the very beginning of, you know, of me having any inkling that there might be a Bigfoot or more than one in the area, was that 2011. So that wasn't very exciting, but I did get the pictures of the tracks.
I don't know. That must have been pretty cool, though, to see tracks that are so far apart that you said you had to leap just to make those same shoe prints with your gait. And then the fact that they were in an exact straight line, we've heard that a lot, right, when it comes to Bigfoot tracks, which is not how we walk at all.
Yeah, well, I just knew it looked weird, but until Rick, the guy that came to do the investigation, mentioned that it looked like the trackways that he immediately, that was the first thing he goes, it's in a straight line, that, you know. So I'm gonna admit I hadn't heard that, but I did know that it did not look like you or I had walked in it. It looked weird, where it was alternating footprints would be like a normal person would walk. This looked like one right after the other, and, which I thought was weird, but I didn't think Bigfoot.
And this is him looking at the pictures that you took, right? He didn't come out soon enough to see all of this in person.
No, this was way late. This was like last year or so.
Okay.
When he finally came out.
And when
he just got excited over the picture.
Yeah, I bet he did. Yeah, when you have something in a straight line and you have to make a leap just to do that, to copy it, that says something.
Yeah, it wasn't like I had to do an Olympic leap or anything, but it was not natural. I remember having to kind of jump forward to even do it, which is weird.
Did he give you any information on, oh, I've been out here before, or we have other reports on the website from this area? Did he say anything to you?
Not right where I'm at, but I did look around and after that and try to see what was around here. And there is, like, in the county over from us, like, historically, there's a, I think that they called it Stumpy or something like that. It was, because it had an injured, they were supposedly a Bigfoot with an injured leg or arm or something. I can't remember exactly that story. I wish I could, but that was the county just next to us.
Stumpy. They always give them very fitting nicknames, don't they?
Up where the Green River starts and everything. Yeah. I'm thinking that's probably not it, Stumpy, but it was something like
I bet it is, because there's the two-egg stump jumper that I've had on when Mark was talking about that. Mark Muncy was talking about the two-egg stump jumper, right? You're like, what? Where do they get these names? poor guys. They're like, great, we're skunk apes and stumpies, and thanks a lot, humans. Appreciate that. So what was the next thing for you guys?
The next thing that happened, I can't remember exact dates, but there's a little pond. I wouldn't even call it a pond. It's only the size of a swimming pool down the hill from my back porch. And we live, like I said, out in the middle of nowhere. This where I live there. And there was always kids or whatever coming and shooting guns. And I'm not opposed to guns, but I'm talking about, like, at 2 or 3 in the morning, there would be people out firing guns at that, down at that, waking us up at like 4 in the morning. A wife and a young son at the time, which that bothered me. So to be woken up at like 2 in the morning shooting, and it sounds like it's right, you know, in your backyard. So there was several instances of these people I thought were in our yard. One of the times, this does have a connection, I promise. I was trying to get it all straight because it happened over several different times and it's kind of all mixed up timeline. One of the biggest times we actually called the police because the people were shooting, and my son and I were playing video games. It was a weekend and we were playing video games at like 2 in the morning, and right outside the room that we were playing video games, the window there is the yard that goes, the woods. It's basically, I don't really have much yard. It's always woods, but that kind of slopes back down to that pond. And we thought we heard someone real close outside the house. Then we heard gunshots. And so we went out on the back porch, and probably maybe 10 to 15 yards off of our back porch, when we stepped out onto the back porch, we thought there were more than one person. And I wasn't thinking Bigfoot at this time either, but this literally scared us to death, because we heard the pond is not on my property, and that's where evidently the people were shooting. We heard a shot fired, and then that's right as we walk off to look and see what's going on, and we hear about 10 yards. This would have been between us and the pond where we heard the shooting, and this is thick woods and underbrush. We heard somebody start running, and I thought at the time that we had startled a second shooter, because this is 2 in the morning. We hear people hollering and carrying on and shooting. And then we hear a shot fire as soon as we step out on the back porch. And then something goes running through the woods. And I mean, it went crashing through the woods and running like around our house, like towards the front door. So I got scared. I told my son to go back in the house and get with his mama. I grabbed my shotgun as I went back through the house and out to the front porch because I thought the person was running around there at this point. And I yelled to my wife, I said, call 911. So I literally thought we were about to get broken into by these people that were just shooting at 2 or 3 in the morning. So she called 911 and I got out on the front deck with my shotgun, and that person, what I thought was a person, and now I think was probably a Sasquatch, had already, it's hard to explain this, but if it had been a person, it shouldn't have been able to be where it was all the way around my house. I should have took an easy shortcut and beat it there, but it was already clear of my property going down the hill. And it was just, I mean, and this is just thick underbrush. There's no trail. It's trees, fallen trees, briars. There's no way a person should have been able to, it would have took me 10 minutes to get from where this thing started running on our back porch. And I walked through the house to get to the front to cut it off. And it had already beat me there and was taken off down the hill on the other side. And then I could hear the people at the pond shoot again. In the confusion and everything, the police came, and the people, they never found the people shooting and everything. And they pretty much said there's nothing they could do anyway, because there's no noise ordinance or anything like that. And I told him, I said, well, it scared us to death, you know, a bunch of shooting going at 2 in the morning, and I've got a kid in here and a wife. And I said, they're in there shaking because they were woken up by, you know, my wife's woken up by the shooting, and my son's terrified because something was running around in the backyard there. So that was when I started thinking that might not have been a person, because I could not figure for the life of me how a person could have run through that brush like that and got that far that fast.
And you say that because
I hope that made sense.
Yeah, no, it does actually. Cause, and I just wanted to reiterate, and that's because of the density of the actual woods, the trees, and the brush in that area, right? It would have taken you 10 minutes, you said.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disabled anyway. I have arthritis, RA, rheumatoid arthritis. So it probably took me 10 years to do that now, but me healthy, it would have took me 10 minutes to climb through that briars and brush where the person was running, you know. And I literally thought it was a person to start with, because it took off running. And I wish that I could have saw, you know, but it was so close. I feel like if it had been 3 or 4 more feet closer to us, to the porch, I would have saw whoever or whatever it was. It was that close. But all I basically saw was the bushes and the trees moving, and it just took off. And like I said, that scared me. So I got my son in the house and got my gun, and I thought I was going to cut it off, because I thought there's no way that person can run around my house through the woods, and, you know, and that before I can get to the front door. But it did. It beat me. My son has a little playground off in the woods. And it had already gone out past the end of my house, across the playground, and down a bank, which is a big, steep bank. And all of it is just briars and thorns and trees. You know, it's North Carolina brush and woods. So it startled me. After the policeman left and I got there and cleared my head, and I was trying to think of everything that just happened, you know, I how could that have been a person? How could a person have done what that thing did?
Well, and also, I'm just wondering if this Bigfoot, you know, you got these pretty much jerks firing off weapons at 2 in the morning, which would piss me off too. That would really suck, especially you have kids in the house and all this other stuff. I'm wondering if the Bigfoot was like, why are you firing this weapon? I'm pretty sure they know what guns are. They're not a good thing. They know that. I wonder if it was closer to your house, or maybe walked to your property to see if you guys were the ones firing the guns.
I've wondered that. With everything that, that I'll tell you that happened after this, where now I'm convinced with the other things that I'll tell you, I've wondered what that one was doing. Like, did the people scare it, and it was getting up close to the house, and then basically me and my son came out, and it was trapped between humans shooting and now humans coming out of their house, and now it's trapped between them. And then when the people shot again, it took off running. I've wondered what it was thinking and what it was doing.
So what were the next happenings there on the property for you guys?
Well, me being sick, Rick came up with this. As I asked him, I told him a couple times I had heard who I thought was somebody out that window. And that room, I slept in that room a lot. It's like a little office and a day bed. And me being sick, and I'd be up a lot, I didn't want to wake anybody else up. So I'd sleep in that room, and I'd have my window open. I would hear who I thought was people a couple times walking up towards that window. And I'd go out there, and I'd yell, you know, hey, get away from here or whatever. Because there's always multiple times the people woke us up shooting. That's the only time we call the police. But there was once or twice I would hear out that window, like, one cough, which I don't know why that's scary. But if you're laying there asleep and you hear what you think somebody's out your window, and you know there's nothing but woods out there, and you just hear a human sounding cough. And that might have happened 3-4 times, you know, different times. I think one time my son was in there with me and he heard it, and it scared him pretty good too. I told Rick, the investigator, about that, and he was sure that, because I get the medication that I take affects my immune system. So I get a cough a lot, and that's why I would go to and sleep in that room. And he was sure that the Sasquatch was probably hearing me. And I kept coughing, and because I only ever heard it one time, just like that. So that was really weird. I don't know. That's just a random thing. But
no, that would before you go on. That would creep me right out too. Now, this might sound like a weird question, and even without this, it's very strange. Do you think the cough sounded like your cough? I mean, some people do have a very distinctive cough. Do you think it sounded like you, like it was trying to mimic you?
Maybe. With it being just one like that, I don't know. I haven't thought about that, but it definitely would make sense that I guess if it was trying to mimic me, that it, you know, or communicate with me, or if it thought it was funny, or you know, who knows what they're thinking. But it definitely was strange that I would only hear one. A couple times I would go out on the porch, and then I would hear nothing. You know, I didn't hear anything walking off, or, you know, during the times that I would hear the cough. There are two, I guess, big instances where I became really sure of what I was dealing with here. One of those was in October of 2014. Several years after the foot tracks, my in-law, like 100 acres, about half a mile from here, from where this same house, the house that I live in, and me and my son would camp over there, and had a four-wheeler at the time, and we'd pack up the camping gear and put the dog on the four-wheeler and head off to the woods. And just, I mean, this would be literally out in the middle of the woods and camp. And he loved to play. He'd take some of his toys out there and play. He liked to play with the monster trucks, you know, the little monster trucks and the wheels and everything. So we'd, you know, I'd carry him out there and we'd camp, and he, you know, get up the next day and cook breakfast or whatever. And he'd play with his monster trucks and everything. So I took the four-wheeler over there. I set up, my son wasn't with me yet. I set up camp. It started getting real cold. It was real cold that night. We didn't even have a tent. We just built a fire and had two cots and lay in, you know, and had the fire like between the cots. You could see, I'm going to try to explain this this is a kind of a complicated situation, and it helps if I can explain the territory. We would be up on a pretty good sized hill. There was a 2-acre pond stocked with bass and everything, like down below us. And then across the pond was my father-in-law's horse pasture. I only had one horse over there. Well, the hill from that would be their house and the barn and everything. Nobody was staying there at the time. My mother-in-law had passed away. I was feeding the horse every day, so nobody was even at the at that house. I get the camp set up. Oh, and right below the hill, before you get to the pond, is a big ravine. Like, it flattens out, and then before it goes up, and then the next hill, like a holler, I guess is what you'd call it. That's kind of where we're camping, overlooking that holler. So I wanted to get the camp set up for my son, get the fire built. And my wife was, I think he had baseball practice or something, or t-ball practice or something. And she was bringing him later after dark. I was going to go meet him in the four-wheeler and bring him back up. So I built the fire and had a little supper, and I laid down. So I was all by myself up there, which is fine. Lots of times I would just drive I'm not scared of the outdoors. Like, I'm sort of crazy. I just would like ride my four-wheeler out there in the middle of nowhere. I'd cut it off and just sit there and listen to the animals. I've had deer come right up to me, and owls and stuff. You know, you see a lot of stuff if you be quiet and just listen, you know. And I loved it. You let your eyes adjust. You don't need a flashlight. And of course, you have to turn the four-wheeler off for a while and sit for a while. But if you sit there for half an hour to hour or so, you know, the wildlife starts coming out and you can see everything. So I was used to doing that. I enjoyed doing that. I look forward to that night being out there by myself a little while. So I laid down on the cot. I hear something knocking on a tree. The tree knocked. And it was a distinct pattern. It was like five or six knocks. It was like knock, 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 and then knock, knock, like that. That got my attention because it was really loud and echoed. And it came from like between the last fence of the and gate of the horse pasture and somewhere down in that ravine right below me. And I mean, it sounded like somebody hitting a tree with a baseball bat. That's what I thought to start with. So I had never heard anything like that before. And I joked in my own head. I was thinking, like, Sasquatch is knocking down there. But then I hear, have you ever heard a horse, when a horse is like will thump the ground with its foot to get the bugs off of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really loud. You know, the horses are so big. Well, I heard what I thought was that. And I thought, well, I thought that was Galilee was the name of the horse. And I thought that was Galilee had heard me at the campsite. So he was trying to come down to the gate, you know, to get my attention is what I thought at first. But that's how heavy and loud that the next thump was. This was not a tree knock. This was literally something stomping the ground that had a lot of weight, because I thought it was a horse. And then I hear the thump again, and I realized that it was so close that it either it was not the horse, or the horse was out of the gate, out of the fence, which I was the one looking after the horse. So if that was the case, I started really listening, because I thought, well, the horse is loose. I'm going to have to go get him and get him back in the fence. About that time, I heard the horse whinny way up on the hill in the barn. So the horse was asleep. It was nowhere near where the thumping was. And I can remember my heart started racing at the time, because, I mean, I realized how big whatever this was making this noise. And about the time where I'm thinking that, this is probably all happening quicker than I'm telling it, but I hear from the other side of this ravine, like long ways, thinking of it long ways, the first noise and knock that I heard is from like the right end of the long ways of the ravine, near the pond and the gate, you know, that towards that. And then I hear from the other end, maybe 75 to 100 yards from sounding like from where I heard that noise, I heard another thump, a separate thump. Like it couldn't have been the same creature. There had to have been at least two of them at this point. I'm starting to wonder at this point, you know, I am starting to think, is this Bigfoot? What's going on? And now there's two of them, and are they literally communicating with each other? And I may have heard two or three more of those thuds from each end of that ravine, and it sounded like they were getting closer, not to me, but each other. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and as I'm trying to figure that, just literally, it sounded like all hell broke loose. And I heard, the only thing I can describe it as, and that's what I put in the Bigfoot, the BFRO report, it sounded like a flock of turkeys. And there's wild turkeys out there, wild pig and wild turkey. It just sounded like a whole flock of turkeys was getting annihilated. They were screaming. You could hear them flapping their wings and just making noises that birds shouldn't make. They were squawking and carrying on. And all of this time you could hear footsteps, the heavy footsteps running from each direction. Like the two that were, it sounded like two to me. It could have been more. I have no idea. But there was at least two of these creatures, and they met at those turkeys. And that went on for maybe 30 seconds, and then it just got quiet. I'm telling you, my heart was just racing. Like, I don't know if I was scared or exhilarated at what I heard or whatever, but that was one of the things I ever heard in my life.
That kind of cut you off there. It was one of the what you've ever heard in your life?
That's one of the wildest things I've ever heard. Like, I've never heard anything like that, but there was no doubt. There's nothing in this area, no black bears, no wildcats or anything that's going to do what I heard going on to those turkeys. I mean, a black bear might get a turkey and a wildcat might get a turkey, but it sounded like 10 to 12 turkeys bit the dust that night, just in 30 seconds time. I have never heard anything like that.
And not in a nice way. And they sounded pretty scared, which you would be if something was murdering you.
Yeah. And then it was just quiet.
Now, what did you think at this point? Are you thinking maybe I should pack up and get out of here?
No. Like I told you, I'm a little crazy. So I just listened and I didn't hear nothing. I don't have any idea which way the creatures went after that. And I didn't hear another sound from the turkey or nothing. But, and some people probably be aggravated at me that I stayed out there all night. But I went and got my son, and he came up to camp there that night. I was telling him about it as we were laying there. And it sounded like maybe half a mile away on the other side of where I first heard all that commotion. That same pattern of knocks in the wood knock. So, and he was there and got to hear that. So I wish he'd have been there for the turkey thing. I don't know if it'd have scared him. He would have made me take him home or not, but I wish he'd have heard that. But
hey there, did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, how long after the turkeys being slaughtered did that set of knocks start again?
I'm going to say 2-3 hours.
And it was totally quiet up in between that time.
Yeah, and wow. This was way, way on the other side of the woods where we were at, like off in a distance.
And how old was your son at this point?
Oh, and I had my dog.
Oh, no. Yeah.
10.
10, okay. And I'm sorry I interrupted you. You had your dog there. Yeah, what was the dog doing at that point?
Nothing, which that tells me something, too, because every little noise that the dog, he that was his playtime, too, you know. Dogs are always having to be on the leash and whatnot, and I just let him loose out there normally. He would lay on the foot of one of our cots in our sleeping bag with us, and if he heard a noise in the night, he would go off and investigate. But he did not budge during the turkey thing. He stayed on my feet and just looked. He didn't make a bark. He didn't move. He didn't want no part of that.
He's like, I'm a little too smart to be running off in the woods right now, acting all like a dog.
But one more weird thing from that night was several deer came into our campsite and stood and stayed there through the night. Like, not right next to us, but just in the trees, like around our campsite. The dog got up. That was going to mention the dog. He got up and chased them off like 4 or 5 times. And they kept coming back and standing like right near us. And I wondered, was it like they think, you know, the people are less dangerous than the things that got that, the turkeys.
Right. Well, and did you guys have a fire going most of the night or all of the night?
Yeah, I kept it going all night.
Oh, yeah, those were some smart deer.
It was pretty cold that night.
Yeah, and for you guys just to be out there in cots. I mean, not that, you know, the tent is a false sense of security, but at least you're inside of something, I guess, you know, that whole mental thing. But for you guys just to be out there on cots, like, holy cow.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I didn't go back out there camping after that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I was terrified to, but we'd go back out there during the day and stuff. But my son, he was pretty scared after that. But I was, that was the point where I was sure that, you know, I was pretty sure that I was dealing with Bigfoot. Like, I kept saying to myself, nah, it couldn't be. But I can't think of anything in the world that could have been that happened to those turkeys and the noises I heard and the thump. I mean, that sounded like a 2,000-pound horse thumping the ground, you know, and or however much horses weigh, a lot. At that point, you know, I couldn't think of anything else because they're, you know, I've been out. I'm 50 years old and I've been out in the woods here my whole life, and I've seen every animal that's here, and nothing that I knew of could make that kind of noise, and could do that to a whole flock of turkeys. Those turkeys are humongous. I wouldn't mess with one.
I just think it's a really good thing that you guys weren't closer to the turkeys themselves just by happenstance, or that the turkeys weren't closer to you, right? You don't want to get in the middle of that hunting party.
Yeah. No. Like I said, I wouldn't even mess with those turkeys. They're pretty darn big.
Yeah.
A wild turkey. This is not your Thanksgiving turkeys. These are big, wild, mean things.
Yeah, we'll take our parrots over the turkeys any day, right, Philip?
Yeah, definitely.
Hard bites and all, we'll still take the parrots over the turkeys. Yeah, imagine the turkeys just happen to come into your camp, and then that's where the Bigfoot had accidentally driven them, and then you're there along with the turkeys. I mean, you know, that makes you wonder, like, is this what happens if it would be like lightning striking, right? You have a Bigfoot activity plus you're in the middle of a hunting party, unfortunately. It makes you wonder if people are in the wrong place at the wrong time, if they're just kind of happenstance, the collateral in a situation like that, right?
I probably had a heart attack. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
If that had went on. Yeah. All around me is the noise. It was pretty scary hearing it. I guess I was probably, I don't know, 75 to 100 yards away at least, up a hill, like seemingly I felt safe, you know, far enough away to be safe, and it was still sounded pretty scary. If it had happened in the campsite with me,
I'd probably had a heart attack.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think it's pretty good that your son didn't hear all that going down.
Yeah, he probably would have made me take him home for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't have blamed him.
There was one more thing that happened at my house. That was the one that scared me. We still got time. I'll tell you about that one if you want to hear it.
Absolutely.
I think this was somewhere around 2017 or so. I definitely don't, before I say all this, I don't want anybody to think I would shoot at a Bigfoot or try to kill a Bigfoot or anything like that. It definitely matters to me that it's in context of we've had a lot of people, like I've already mentioned, and there's been several other times where people have been either high or on drugs or drinking or whatever, come up in the woods, they're shooting at night and everything. So this last thing that happened, I'd like to definitely mention it in that context, because I did get my gun. We did use several guns that night. So, but I'm laying in the bed. This is back at my house, not camping, but back at my house. I'm laying in the bed at the room that I was telling you about that I lay in a lot and had my window open. We had had a lot of rain. I'm laying there with the window open after a big rain. I think it was in April, May, so it was pretty warm. I think it's probably about 10 or 11 at night, that night, and not too late, but bedtime. There's around our back porch in the yard, we have a dog fence, not anything nice or whatever, just a dog fence, and for the dogs to go out back to do their business. We had some chickens out there at one point. We may have had a few chickens at that time. Yeah, there were chickens out there at that time, and hens, just for the eggs. I think I could just see the top of the fence where I was laying that night, but I heard something. The fence is kind of a, you know, those dog fences like I'm talking about, and they're not real tight. They're just kind of loose. I didn't do a great job putting it up, just to put the, you know, just something to keep the dogs in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of loose and no barbed wire or anything. And it's about 5 foot high. So I hear something pulling on that fence and like grabbing it and letting it go, like that kind of a noise. So I sit up and look, and it sucks that I missed it, but I didn't see anything but the fence moving. And it sounded like something had just either climbed back over the fence or reached over and was pulling the fence back to step in or whatever. I don't know. But I saw the fence. Like, it was that close to seeing whatever or whoever. And I could see the fence wobbling. And I wasn't thinking Bigfoot at that time, because we had a lot of problem with people, you know, shooting and everything at that point. I told my son, he's older at this time. Wife was up, was still awake, and she was wondering what that noise was and everything. So I went out the back door and I took my shotgun. I opened the back door. And I took the shotgun out, and as I opened the back door, I hear pow, and like a really loud crack. It sounded like a .22 rifle, and I literally thought somebody, whoever was trying to break in and climb over the fence, was now just in the wood line off my back porch shooting at us. And so I told my son and my wife, I said, get the, we had a .22 rifle also. I said, get the .22, stay down. So I peek out and I hear it again. So I step out on the back porch, you know, trying to see where this is coming from. And I'm telling my family, they're trying to like see what's going on. I'm trying to keep them back, you know, into the house, because we thought we were getting shot at. I yelled something like, I said, look, I said, I will shoot you. I said, I have a wife and son. You know, I don't know what you're doing, but, you know, I'm going to shoot you if you don't make yourself known or whatever. And about that time, after the third cow, I opened fire. I shot my shotgun. There's a big tree just off the corner of the porch, and that's where I felt like this person was behind that tree in that area. So I fired down, you know, in that area with my shotgun, which I just had birdshot in my shotgun. I'm the last person in the world who's going to kill anybody. But we were scared to death. We literally thought we were being shot at this point. And I can't remember how many rounds I shot, but I emptied the shotgun. I had 3 or 4 shots in it. And my son, I handed it to my wife and my son, and I said, load this back up. And I took the 22. And somewhere during this time, there was a commotion. We realized that this was not a person, because we could hear like footsteps or something. I can't remember exactly what made us realize where that realization was. But what the cracking was this creature was about 20 yards off of our back porch, and it was uprooting a giant tree. It was like every push, this tree, like, I mean, it was a big old tree. And finally, it got it uprooted, and it pushed it over, and it crashed like with a just boom and shook the whole house. And I remember my wife just going, oh my God, oh my God. You know, that's a Sasquatch or whatever. When it pushed the tree over, it just started running, and we could hear thoom, thoom, running like a way down towards that pond. I mean, you could hear it running forever. Like it wanted to make sure that we heard it. Like, I don't know why it was cracking that tree to start with and making it sound like a shotgun. I mean, a rifle going off, but that's what we thought we were being shot at. So then, of course, I started shooting, and I shot it. It turned out I didn't shoot anywhere near where this thing was standing, because the tree was a good another 10 or 15 yards on off. But that was the craziest thing. Me, I just immediately started feeling bad, like that I had shot at it, you know. But I remember my wife just kept saying over and over and over, I hate those things. I hate those things. I don't, you know, I don't want them here. It's like, she was like in shock, like freaking out. Cause like, it was so obvious. Like nobody, I didn't say, oh, look, a Sasquatch or whatever. It was just like, they were peeking over my shoulder. Like as I'm, you know, shooting to try to protect us. And when it pushed the tree over and started running and everything, like it was so obvious what it was. You know, she immediately started yelling, like, I hate those things. I hate those things. And like freaking out, you know, I just felt bad that I had, at that point, when I realized it wasn't somebody shooting at me, I just felt bad that I had used my gun.
I mean, this is total conjecture, because who really knows exactly why they do what they do? Why is it uprooting this tree and making so much noise?
I don't know if it was uprooting the tree before I started shooting or not, because I just heard the crack. So if it's breaking the tree or breaking something out there, but I really don't know. I figure it was trying to get one of my chickens, either leaving my fence or was thinking about coming in. Just, it sounded like, you know, somebody had just grabbed that fence and pulled it back and let it go flip, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. And I could hear that. That's what got me to sit up. And then I saw the fence moving. It was that close for me getting to see the thing. And then I went out with my gun. So I don't know if it saw my gun. To answer your question, I don't know if it saw my gun or if it, I don't know.
Yeah, because how much light would be illuminating you? You know, if that thing is in the wood line and it sees you come out onto the porch, do you guys have porch lights on to where, I mean, well, Plus, they can probably see at night a whole lot better than we can, so maybe it's a moot point. But, you know, were you kind of out in the middle of the porch where it could see you pretty well?
To start with, yeah. I went right over to the rail to start and made myself clear. I wanted to make myself known to start with. I didn't get back, like, undercover, like, back into the doorway until I heard the first pow and thought I was being shot at. Then I kind of got where I didn't want to be seen. But yeah, I went right out on the porch trail and tried to act, you know, like the man of the house to try to, I'd rather scare somebody with my shotgun than have to shoot them with it.
Well, I think then that makes total sense as to why it got pissed enough to uproot the tree, because you were not supposed to be hearing him try to possibly get a late night meal, right?
I guess. And there's a couple of times where we'd lose a chicken and there would be no dead chicken. It'd just be no chicken.
How often did that happen?
Just a couple times. We never had more than 8 or 10 at a time. And just 2 or 3 times the whole time we had chickens, there might just, you know, just be one gone. We figured they just flew over the fence and or a hawk, the hawk got them or whatever.
So they kind of had like a hen house, but they were roaming around the yard for all intents and purposes, right, inside this dog fence. They didn't have a separate caged enclosure or anything?
No, that fenced-in backyard was their deal. And they had a roost or a hen house.
Right.
My father-in-law built them a nice hen house that's still out there.
Yeah, so there wasn't any, you know, separate latches or anything, because we've heard stories of, you know, rabbit hutches and things that have latches that would really take something with enough of a brain and probably an opposable thumb to work a latch. They would get in and unlatch, you know, a rabbit hutch or a chicken coop and just bloop, just take what they wanted. Did you ever have anything strange like, well, of course, you wouldn't know this unless one was like laying on the ground broken or you'd find them out randomly in the woods. Did they ever take any eggs or find any eggs in weird places?
I wouldn't know, but I'm sure it could have easily got the eggs.
It would just be weird to find, you know, out on a walk in the woods around the property, like cracked eggs or something. You know, it would just be weird to find that because I'm sure they take advantage of whatever they've got in the area.
That's what Rick said. You know, he said they're opportunistic eaters, I think is what he called them.
Mm-hmm.
He was fussing at us for throwing scraps out back there too. He said that might be what drew them in to that area to start with, was we threw, you know, scraps out to the chickens and then scraps out in the backyard there. I mean, in the backwoods.
I mean, once hopefully I'm in a place that might have some Bigfoot, that's the first thing I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be throwing all the scraps out back. And a lot of people are probably going, well, that's not very bright, but darn it. I'm just like you, because you've said a couple times with it moving that fence and you still saw it kind of swinging back and forth. You were that close to possibly seeing one. So obviously you wanted to see it. And I totally understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see it if I'm going to go through all that, you know,
yeah.
and hear it and everything that's going on. I wish I could have got a clear glimpse of one. I mean, the only thing we ever saw was just shadowy movement through the woods that one night when I said, you know, I saw heard the thing running and it could not have possibly been a person that ran through that, and night there was movement of that tree and everything, and then it running. But I never, you know, I'm not gonna lie and say I saw a Bigfoot, but I can't think there's nothing in the world could have pushed that tree over except a bulldozer or a Bigfoot, you know.
Now I'm sure
it shocks me even Bigfoot was able to push that tree over. That was a pretty big tree.
How big around do you think it was?
I'm bad at that, but maybe it's 2-3 foot in diameter.
Yeah, that's a big tree.
And I took pictures of it. It was still laying down there. It's kind of rotted now. It's still down there. Rick took pictures of it, walked all around it when he was here too.
I mean, after this happened, because I'm sure it was a big deal for you to discharge your weapon into a wood line, no matter what you thought was out there, right? A couple things. First of all, did you go the next day and then look for tracks or anything else? Because even your wife was going, oh my God, I hate these things. It's a Bigfoot. So that's the first question was, did you guys go out the next day and look around? Not that there may be substrate for that kind of a thing. And second of all, did you call 911 again? Because now you're actually unloading your weapon into the wood line thinking there's somebody about to break into your house.
No, I was absolutely positive of what it was. And I wasn't going to call 911 for that. If I had still thought it was a person shooting at us, yeah, I definitely would have. But
so that realization actually came quite quickly then, to be honest, right?
Yeah,
once you're doing that, you're going, oh crap, this was not a person.
Yeah, when that commotion started in the tree, he pushed the tree on over and then started running, you know, which was just a few minutes after the whole thing started. It happened pretty quick. And then it started running. There was no doubt. I dare any person alive, believer or not believer, to have stood there on the porch that night and heard that tree get pushed over. And I mean uprooted, partially uprooted. Not just broken over, but pushed. That's what was cracking and popping, I guess, was it just down a bank. I mean, it had gravity on its side, I'll give it that, you know, but then hearing that thing spinning and running, thumping off, it was like it, I'm sure those things can go quietly. Everybody knows that, you know, they can be really quiet. This one was stomping. We heard every footstep till it got way, way off. It made sure, like, we heard it push that tree over and then bump those. I dare anyone to stood up there with us that night and, you know, and not think that was a Sasquatch.
Well, it got mad that you got in the way of its chicken dinner, man. You know, I mean, you need to let the let the guy eat.
I did have, I heard a few things out a couple other nights and I found some more typical footprints. I'll send you, it didn't make a good picture. To answer your question about going out and looking, I did walk around out there and I think I took pictures of that tree when it first fell, but it had rained so hard and everything on and off that night. And that's out in the, with the leaves and everything, there was nowhere that you could even find footprints, but yeah. Up near that fence, where right would have been right where it grabbed, I guess, that night, and I heard it moving. I did find a couple of like deep indentions that look like the shape of a foot about two times as big as mine, and you could see toe impressions. And I took a picture of that. I'll send you that too. It didn't come out that great. It was enough that I've never had any of the what do you call the stuff, the plaster or whatever to make tracks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I ordered some off of Amazon after I found those footprints, because I wished I had had some when I found those. I may have been able to make a cast or whatever of it, but I did take a picture.
And the pictures that you're going to be sending me, is it okay to share that with everybody?
Yeah.
Great.
Anything. You know, I don't have anything that you can't use or whatever.
Well, thanks, Philip. I appreciate that. And again, guys, if you were interested in going to the BFRO report, BFRO.net, report number 67582. Well, Philip, thank you so much for coming on with me.
There's no problem.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little biography. Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the meaning. how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. Same person who a little while ago left the platform. you think you are. You are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. The master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.